Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. I have a very special guest today, and he is, in fact, the executive secretary of the St. Patrick's Day Parade. He is also a professor, a science educator, and he is now chairman of the St. Patrick's Day Foundation. I want to welcome Hilary Byrne to the program. Hilary, you're very welcome indeed.
Thank you very much, Adrian. A pleasure to be here.
We could hardly, let the occasion go by without mentioning and reflecting on your uncle, Frankie Byrne, and who indeed was the chairman of the St. Patrick's Day Parade for a good number of years, and indeed is remembered quite fondly by a lot of people. And I'm sure that it's no coincidence that you wound up in the ranks of, and now the executive secretary of the St. Patrick's Day Parade in New York. And give us some reflections of your own on your Uncle Frank.
Uncle Frank was a wonderful individual. Everybody admired him tremendously, and some of the things he did in life were, I don't think anybody else could have done them. In my own case here, I came from Ireland in the beginning of March in 1988, and 2 weeks later, Uncle Frank had me working at the reviewing stand.
Yeah.
And it's when I reflect back that I came from the west of Ireland, and 2 weeks later I'm sitting here in New York with the mayor and greeting the governor, it certainly is something to say, given that we came from Ireland.
Yeah, nephew or no nephew, he would have had you with a brush or whatever was needed there. He was a tough character, particularly when it came to the parade and the running of the parade.
Yeah. He had a very unique way with him. He made you feel like you had known him all his life,
yeah.
even if you met him for the first time. And that's a unique quality in a person. And he made you comfortable, and he got a lot of people to do things that they would never have done only for his
right.
way and his mannerism. Again, a tremendous individual, it really was.
Now, and particularly I think those listening to the program may not have heard of the St. Patrick's Day Foundation. And because it's new.
Yes. The St. Patrick's Day Foundation, we launched it there in October.
Mm-hmm.
And basically we're looking to the future. The parade is 252 years old this year. And it has always struggled financially. And the foundation is set up to try and ensure that as immigration to this country has pretty much stopped, thanks to 9/11, and that has been always the traditional source of funding for the parade. As that has dried up, in the future we can see that there could be possibly an issue with funding for the parade, and this is a way of trying to ensure that there will be a fund there, that when the parade does run into difficulties in the future, that it can come to the foundation and get funding to ensure that the parade continues to be the greatest and the best parade in the world, and doesn't struggle financially in the future.
I would like to add to what you say there. You know that definitely the world changed because of 9/11, but immigration and the regulations and the in many cases the unconscionable attitude towards immigrants here that will is currently, and hopefully not for not too much longer, that is where the huge problem is. And even if that is corrected, I think we're going to have, obviously, for Irish immigration, immigration like yourself and myself, that it is going to, there's going to be a huge generation gap there, which yep. which can't be corrected with immigration reform, but hopefully immigration reform will kick in. And there is a direct connection, indeed, between the efforts of immigration reform and the Ancient Order of Hibernians, and indeed the St. Patrick's Day Parade in New York, which yep. is the largest parade in the world.
Yep. We look at some of the affiliated organizations that are associated with the parade, and they quite a number of them are starting to struggle with membership. And mm-hmm. that, in turn, will negatively impact funding for the parade. The cost of the parade, like in the last 20, 25 years, has escalated probably 500-fold. Mm. And we, to ensure that the parade continues for the next 250 years, it's important that we're imaginative, that we're look out every opportunities and possibilities to ensure that the funding is there to secure and ensure that we have the greatest celebration of Irish faith, heritage, and culture in the world right. here in New York City.
Now,
it's important for us to ensure that that is the case. It would be amiss and a disgrace for the Irish community anywhere in the world, not just in New York, to let such an enormous event, a New York institution, in essence, go out of business in 20, 30, 40 years from now because it doesn't have the funding. And we want to make sure that it is there to ensure that that parade still continues to be enjoyed by New Yorkers, people from Ireland, and across the world.
Absolutely. Which begs the question as to the tradition and how has the New York St. Patrick's Day Parade been funded over the decades?
Well, it's been funded mainly by Irish immigrants coming from Ireland who joined the membership organizations here in New York, and they in turn had tremendous pride in their heritage, and they wanted to make sure that there was funding there to ensure that that parade was held every year for the past 250 years. And as I said there, like in the last 20, 25 years, the costs have become enormous. And it's vital that as we move into the future with lack of immigration from Ireland, with the tough economic times that we've seen here for the last 5 to 6 years, that we are in a position, or the, should I say, the parade and the Irish community here in New York are in a position to ensure that there is funding to keep that parade where it is, on Fifth Avenue, in the right. greatest city in the world.
Now, I'm sure that many listening to the program, and sure a lot of people would say that it would be is it difficult to believe. And indeed, chairman, current chairman of the St. Patrick's Day Parade Committee, himself, John Dunleavy, and yourself, and those have done a great job in getting the money somehow.
Yeah.
It's not just the parade itself, but the enormous expenses associated with the parade. It is great the television coverage, the all of the expenses involved with the parade to many of us would seem, well, why wouldn't it be? I mean, it can't be that difficult to get sponsors and to have people want to be a part of it. figure that the day after the St. Patrick's Day parade, going back to and long before your uncle's time, there was never a cushion or a fund.
No,
it simply wasn't there.
It wasn't there, and then the parade, we're all volunteers, and we put thousands of hours, and the structure has never been there to put that into place. And it's important that we do put some kind of structure there and a fund to ensure that it does continue. There's no question about that. But the going to John Dunleavy, in the last 20 years that John has been at the helm, he has done an enormous job, and he has allowed myself and a couple of other individuals to try new ideas to ensure that we do get funding. For example, 6, 8, 7 years ago, I sat with John and I said, John, I want to talk with NBC about web streaming the parade. Mm-hmm. And John, being from the old school and not very computer literate, really didn't quite understand what I was talking about. And I says, John, I says, it's important. I think it's the future of the parade. I says, it'll allow us to expand our viewership beyond the tri-state area. And more importantly, I says, when my family at home in Ireland are coming in from the St. Patrick's Day parades in Ireland, they can turn on their computers start to look at us as we go up Fifth Avenue. And what that has done is it has allowed people in London and Holland and Australia and China even to watch us as we march here in New York City. It has opened up our viewership tremendously. And in turn, that has helped to keep our heads above water financially, because we have got some donations from those countries. And that's important, as we've fought off very tough economic times in the last 4 to 5 years.
Yeah, there is no doubt that the St. Patrick's Day Parade, in addition to being the largest parade in the world, is also the showcase. It is a showcase for the culture, the heritage, and indeed in many cases it is a source of great pride for the Irish, as you correctly pointed out, throughout the world. Many areas who do their level best but don't have either the funding or the skills or indeed the bodies to create a parade. There have been, and continues to be, a great number of parades. However, there is no question whatsoever that the St. Patrick's Day Parade is indeed, as I say, the showcase. Let me ask you, because there is a, Hillary, there is a sense that despite the tremendous number of volunteers that you have, because it has always been supported by volunteers, that there can't be that much, that there can't be that many expenses involved with it. After all, the television is supported. The television is supported by sponsors, and indeed there are some who might say that there is, you'd have a fairly hefty balance at the end of each year. Many think that the Green Line that has been traditional, that the stands somehow are all donated, contributed, and that, the city has, a slush fund for all of those things. Can you give us an idea?
Well, to give you an idea, we produce a 4-hour television show. We have to hire the producers for that show, and then we broadcast that. And that is funds that we have to raise through sponsorships of the parade broadcast. And that's close to probably $500,000. Now, the operations of the parade itself, we have to get various types of insurances. we actually, again, pay for all the reviewing stands, and on average, the cost per ticket to us is about $50 when all is said and told. We even supply porta potties in the formation areas and along the parade route, because there's very little public sanitation here supplied by the city in any part of the city. And we could not have 100,000 people needing to go to the bathroom in New York City, if you know what I mean. And so all of that adds up. And at the end of the day, we're talking $800,000, $900,000 that the parade committee raises annually to run the New York City St. Patrick's Day Parade.
And we are in the world of realism. We're talking about for this year, and indeed it will only escalate from here. We're talking about $1 million that has to come from somewhere.
Yep.
And we don't have to beat into the ground the reality that you know, many of the organizations themselves, as is an aging group, there is now a four-decade gap of little or no legal immigration from Ireland. So let me ask you about the formation. And before I forget it, I just want to insert here that whereas there have been a great number of supporters through the decades, John Leahy, president of Quinnipiac University and indeed the founder of the great Ireland's Great Hunger Museum in Hamden, Connecticut, that he has been a tremendous supporter, and in addition to being the co-chairman of the St. Patrick's Day Parade.
Yes.
And long may that last, but what brought about, and you as chairman, tell us, what was, how did you get that first meeting together? Because you had the most impressive board members, you know, from that you could possibly come up with, the cream of the crop. Some of them now, mind you, wouldn't be writing checks, you know, like Timothy Cardinal Dolan or Edward Cardinal Egan, or there are a few in there that wouldn't translate into benefactors of cash. They'll give you great support and whatever, but just tell us, how did you go about that, and what was the reaction when you went to people and said, by the way, we have no money?
Well, we have money. We're looking to the future for the parade. Like, the parade isn't financially insolvent, but we look to the future. And like I said, it's one of the things that has kept, under the chairmanship of John Dunleavy, it kept us our head above water. And we constantly are looking to the future in relation to funding and to grand marshals and all of that. So what we see in the future is, because of lack of immigration to the United States from Ireland, and organizations struggling with membership enrollment, that we have to make sure that we have that funding in the future. But a lot of the gentlemen that we have on in the foundation board were delighted to be asked to help out and to help to raise the funds for the parade. As you said, quite a number of them are very successful in this country and come with a enormous stature. And when we approached them, myself and Sean Lane, who's the vice chairman of the foundation, they were absolutely delighted and to be involved and to help out. And
Were they equally surprised that there wasn't a plan in place for the next, you know?
Well, the put it this way, the parade itself is very, very successful. It's the largest celebration of Irishness in the world. It's the most recognized parade in the world. And from that, we have been, in essence, a victim of our success. Like a lot of people think that the parade is flush with funding.
Right.
And that is not the case. They had assumed that some major groups in New York City contributed thousands of dollars to the parade, which they do not. They had assumed that the city would financially support the parade. After all, $250 million plus is raised annually every year in taxes on the spending in hotels and all kinds of revenue that's generated around the parade for the city. So they had assumed that the city would take a lot of the costs, especially when it comes to sanitation, especially when it comes to the reviewing stands. As you said earlier on, the reviewing stands you thought were donated and sponsored, and that's not the case. We have to pay for everything. And
let me ask you right there, Hilary Byrne, about is the St. Patrick's Day parade and all other parades, are they all under the same rules?
Yes.
So it's not as if it is not as if the St. Patrick's Day parade, because of its religious affiliation, that they're being singled out. So when we see all the other parades there, they have to be paid for too.
Yes, they do. Yes. And it's an enormous cost, and it's amazing that a system hasn't been put in New York City that, because of the revenue that's generated by all these parades, especially when it comes to the New York City St. Patrick's Day parade, that's the hundreds of thousands, and it's estimated that 1 to 2 million people come to New York City just mm-hmm. to look at the parade. The revenue that's generated there is enormous, and it's quite surprising that there isn't something there to financially support and help to reduce costs in the city.
Well, whatever about bringing that up in the decades past,
yes,
that would be a bad topic to bring up under the current structure.
Oh, yeah. Well, the current financial climate is tough for everybody.
Absolutely.
Not just the parade, but for the city as well, and I have to give credit. Mayor Bloomberg has done a tremendous job in ensuring that the city is financially solvent and stable. He has done yeoman's work. When you look and compare to some of the cities out in California, where they have financial problems, in some cases declare bankruptcy.
Right, and in terms of the costs associated with many parades, including St. Patrick's Day parades, the cost factor, which relatively would be much lower than what you're talking about here in the realm of $1 million.
Yes.
Many of them have had difficulty to the point where they've cancelled. They've not been able to keep it up. But that's
We get phone calls, Adrian, all the time from parades across the country and sometimes even Ireland and Australia. And they ask our opinions as to how we're able to financially stay afloat and how we're able to succeed in our fundraising. And I had a phone call there this past summer from Phoenix.
Right.
And it was a gentleman from Dublin, and he was basically picking my brain see what we do here in New York to raise funds and to find out basically how come we're so successful in raising the funds to keep the parade going. And I started to say there earlier on, thank God for John Dunleavy, in that he has allowed a group of us, when we sit down and we say, look, John, we want to try this. Like I said, the web streaming was one such example. And that has increased our viewership, but it also has in turn increased our ability to get sponsors and to get funding online through our website, to get it has raised our profile, so now we're getting people from other parts of the world to come to participate in the parade, and also it allows us additional exposure that we wouldn't have had. And like I sit with John every so often, and we talk strategy for the future and strategy for the next parade, and John is wonderful from the point of view that he's receptive, he's open, he's always willing to try new ideas, and he says, if it helps the parade, he says, I'm willing to try it, and if it doesn't work, then we will move on to the next thing. And 9 times out of 10, we have been successful in every initiative that we've tried, and that has helped us stay afloat, stay financially stable and solvent, and has put we have some reserves in the bank, nothing that would be significant from the point of view of the cost of running a parade, but we have some reserves there, but we're looking to the future, and the picture we see is, again, going back, lack of immigration, dropping enrollment in affiliated organizations, and again, thanks to John, like when I sat down, I says, look, John, I says, let's look into the future, take out the crystal ball, what do we see? Picture's not bright, let's see what we can do. We have this group of individuals who are willing to step up to the plate and help us out. Is it okay if we start a foundation? What do you think? And we went from there. And like I said, we're delighted to have all these individuals on the board of directors of the foundation. They're tremendous individuals. They're tremendous caliber of individual. As you said, Cardinal Egan and Cardinal Dolan agreed to serve on the board with us. And that alone, like just having the ability to have their names with all these individuals, it just brings a level of not credibility, but a level of I don't know what you want is the term I'm looking for, that allows us to look to people and say, look, we're trying to raise funding. Here are the people who are involved. Can you help us to ensure and secure and guarantee the future of the New York City St. Patrick's Day Parade? And what you find is that people will say yes. And we hope to raise a significant fund that when we are going to have an investment strategy for that fund, and that the revenue that gets generated out that can be used to support the New York City St. Patrick's Day Parade in, hopefully in 5 or 6 years, that we'd be in that position to do that with the foundation.
Right. Also, when you have an undertaking and when you're starting off a foundation, it is very important and significant, and by God, but you've done it, to get on your board people who actually are experts in raising money, and particularly in the corporate world.
Yes.
A couple of, and indeed you have philanthropic consultants, including we might start off with Sarah Kelly. Who is she and what does she do and how does she fit into this?
Well, Sarah basically helps to raise funds for University College Galway. And I attended University College Galway myself, and Sean Lane, who's the vice chair of the foundation, also attended University College Galway. And Sarah brings to the fold experience that some of us don't have. And as you quite rightly pointed out, it's very, very important that you have people with expertise in certain areas. They bring a level of credibility to what you're doing, and more importantly, they steer you in the right direction. When I have meetings about certain things associated with the parade in an area that I'm really not an expert in, I always try to make sure I bring one with me. I think it's a good strategy to have, and Sarah certainly brings that when we're sitting down together to discuss what we're going to do to ensure that we get people out to the event that we're hosting on March 14th in honor of Al Smith at the New York Athletic Club, and she keeps us on task.
Yes. Yeah. Tell me, Alfred, and God knows for those of us who know him and know again his lineage, Alfred E. Smith IV is the for this year is the Grand Marshal of the St. Patrick's Day Parade, which is fantastic, and I think that most people who have looked over the last 20 years, and again, fair play to Chairman John Dunleavy, there have been a tremendous array of Grand Marshals, each and every one representing a very broad and wide community. And Al Smith, as we know him, is indeed, not only is he not an exception, but he is particularly has a great following, and there is great admiration for his own contributions and his own support of not just the St. Patrick's Day Parade, but for right across the Irish American community, and indeed beyond that as well.
Yes.
He is known for his expertise, and it's so he is a good draw for your first sit-down dinner.
Yes.
Which is again taking place on Thursday, March 14th, and for the benefit of those who are listening to us, we might say that whereas the 17th of March is the feast of St. Patrick, the St. Patrick's Day Parade, the New York Parade, will be held on Saturday, the 16th, not the 17th, in New York City. And but tell us anyway, you're having your very first annual St. Patrick's Day Foundation gala, and that's in the New York Athletic Club.
That's correct. Overlooking Central Park. One can't get a better location. Sharon Shannon will be coming from Ireland. Sharon Shannon is a multiple platinum recording artist from Ireland. And we're looking forward to having a nice crowd at the event. Mary Higgins Clark is planning to attend, a former Grand Marshal from the 250th, along with several other Grand Marshals, like Frank Comerford, Mike Givens, Jim O'Connor, just to name a few. Barney Ferguson will most likely be there as well. And we're expecting a nice turnout, and we're always looking for more people to attend, as with any fundraising organization. And what I'm saying is anybody who would like to attend, we would be delighted to host them.
Terrific. Now, this, again, and we say this only because it's true, that the New York Athletic Club is a tremendous, it is probably one of the most significant and renowned venues in New York, but there it has a capacity as well, you know, and so it would be pretty, it would be important for those who are thinking of going to get on the stick and make those reservations now.
Yes. It's amazing when we talk about the New York Athletic Club. It's amazing the Irish connections in the New York Athletic Club. The amount of people, first generation, second generation, and even from Ireland who are members of that club, it's enormous. As the saying goes, it's a small world. When I met the current president is Colin Neal. His wife Bernadette, when we met for the first time several years ago, she asked me where I was from, and I said, oh, I grew up between Boyle and Carrick and Shannon in County Roscommon. She says, oh, my uncles lived in Boyle. I says, what were their names? And she goes, oh, Leo Crine and Jerry. And I says, oh, we used to live right beside them. So So mm-hmm. it's the connections that the parade have with the New York Athletic Club goes back quite a while, and it's a wonderful location. And this past year at the Olympics in London, the club won a record number of medals. I think it was something like 17 medals that wow. they won, the members of the club won in London. And needless to say, the club is extremely yeah. proud of their history associated with the parade and with athletes here in the United States.
All right. Now, what are the costs of the tickets for?
The ticket is $500 a ticket. And pricings, we have various different sponsorships of $10,000 and $25,000 and $50,000.
Okay.
So we're hoping that, like I say, we have a nice turnout so far, and we're hoping for more people to come.
Right. The price of the single ticket indeed sounds, well, let's just say that it's pricey. So how does, you know, somebody, you know, afford to get on board here? Might I respectfully suggest that I would say that many people who work in commercial business that it would not be as big a deal as it was as it appears. Many organizations would, if approached, I think. Would like to be a part of or support the St. Patrick's Day Parade.
Yes.
Even those who have little
yes.
or no association with it at all. It is something that we can do. So I would say...
Well, we have an event in February 24th where it's called the Grand Marshal and AIDS Reception.
Right.
And it's priced at a lower level so that everybody...
Right.
Can be involved and help support the parade. It's a tremendous event as well.
And that one sells out too.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's a fantastic event.
And that's how it takes place at Enfons.
Yeah. And see, the foundation really goal is to engage a broad base of the community not otherwise engaged in raising funds for the parade.
Right.
If you think about it, around St. Patrick's Day, most Irish affiliated organizations to the parade have their own fundraising.
Absolutely.
And we in the foundation don't want to interfere with that.
Mm-hmm.
And what we want to try and do is target the commercial enterprise, the business people who,
right.
In essence, a price of $500 doesn't negatively impact their bottom line. And
right.
at the same time, by doing that, we don't interfere with the affiliated organizations who have been the backbone of support for the parade financially and of the parade itself on March 17th by coming out and participating. And it's important that we don't at all interfere with their ability to raise their funds. And
absolutely.
Hence the reason why of the difference in the pricing.
Yeah, and now, and for the benefit of those who will be going to their corporates and leaning on them for support for this. This is a 501c3. That's pending, but in the meantime,
yes.
Yeah. But in the meantime, it is indeed a write-off for, and that I assume will be another added incentive for people. So it is for a lot of the corporates, and indeed there are many people, I am sure, who would like to think that they would be contributors into the indefinite future of supporters for the St. Patrick's Day parade in New York. Give us the information and how do we go about it here?
Well, one can go to the foundation's website. All the information is available there. The website is stpatricksdayfoundation.org.
Right. That's not dot com.
Not dot com. Dot org.
Yeah.
And all the information is there. And on the gala page, there's an ability to make a reservation. And we will then process the information that
right.
they supply and reach back to them to ensure that they're happy with what we have done for them.
By the way, that by the way, that website is improving by the year, and it is it's very good. So the for a lot of people who may not even know that it exists,
yes,
it's a good job to go on there anyway, and you will get all this information.
Yeah, we even this year now, the foundation, we've formed a partnership with Booking.com, which you see advertised on television,
right?
So that people who are making reservations to come to the parade and to the foundation function, in essence, can book their hotels, and there is still some revenue generated for the foundation by just booking a hotel simply in New York or anywhere in the world.
Oh, very good.
It's, again, like going back to what I was saying earlier on, we have to be imaginative in our ability to raise funds for the parade, and there are so many ways that it can be done.
Yeah.
And the foundation is one way, trying to engage partnerships with organizations like Booking.com, because people have to make reservations for their hotel rooms in New York. Why not do it in such a way that it can benefit the organization that runs the parade?
Your board, the board members of the St. Patrick's Day Foundation, extensive. And for anybody who goes to your website, you'll be able to see not only the caliber of those who are on this brand new, and that's what it is.
Yes.
This is a new day, a new foundation, again, guaranteeing the future of the St. Patrick's Day Parade in New York. Again, a very extensive and indeed an eye-opener in terms of those who are on your board, and that's available.
Yes. But one of the things I've said when we launched it was that we're going to engage all parts of the community, and when you look at the board of directors of the foundation, you can see that reflected there. There's representatives from the financial world, from all forms of commerce, education, the church, everything, and it's so important that we do that to ensure the eye on the ball really is to protect and preserve the New York City St. Patrick's Day Parade. And as John Dunleavy says, I could have $1 million in the bank and not have people to participate, and I can have as many people in the world to participate and not have money to run the parade. So we it's a delicate balance, and
absolutely,
we want to make sure that we maintain that balance. And one of the people says, well, why don't you do this? Why don't you put floats in the parade?
Sure.
And I go, absolutely not. The secret of the success of the New York City St. Patrick's Day Parade is the fact that it has retained its traditions. It has retained the ability to fund itself and has remained a true martyr's parade.
Terrific.
And, traditions are very strong in the parade, and it's important that they maintain. And people come back every year to march in that parade because they know exactly what's expected, and they know how the parade is going to be operated. And it's a tremendous testament to the people who've gone before us. And we want to make sure that when we leave, that we leave the parade in the same good shape that we received it.
Okay, on a personal note, as we and my guest, friends, has been Hilary Byrne, who is the executive director of the St. Patrick's Day, of the New York City St. Patrick's Day Parade. And also, he is now the chairman of the newly founded St. Patrick's Day Foundation. On a personal note, I have been reminded by the former Deputy Grand Marshal of the Queen's County St. Patrick's Day Parade. I see a red line here that says the Deputy Grand Marshal for the Queen's County St. Patrick's Day Parade, indeed a fine gentleman, is, of course, Jack Ahern. But you have the distinction this year of being the Gael of the Year for the Queen's County St. Patrick's Day Parade, and that has actually, that's one of the first ones up, I'm looking, March 2nd.
March 2nd, yes.
So, you'll be there?
Yes, I certainly will. It's, I can't believe that I was asked to serve as Gael this year. It's an enormous honor for myself and my family, and I deeply appreciate it. Mike Benn and Pat McGowan and all of those
Absolutely.
People who organized the parade. It's certainly, I'm getting a little emotional saying this to you, because given the circumstances in the Rockaways and the devastation that occurred at Hurricane Sandy, the honor that's been bestowed on me is enormous, given that they've asked me to be the Gael of the Year in the Rockaways
this
year.
And this is an historic year, I can tell you that there is a huge commitment, and whatever about the devastation that hit the Rockaways, let me tell you, the spirit has never been as positive. And again, congratulations.
Well, thank you. And I say to people to make sure that they do come out on March 2nd and show support for the not just the parade, but for everybody in the Rockaways and Breezy Point. They're still struggling to pick up. They're moving forward. And this is a way that we as a community can come together and show support for them, and that's so important this year in particular.
Chairman of the newly formed St. Patrick's Day Foundation, the website stpatricksdayfoundation.org, and my guest, friends, Hilary Byrne. You're listening to Irish Radio Network USA. Thanks, Hilary.
Thank you very much, Adrian.